Well, good morning, and thanks for the invitation again to come and share with you the New Life Church. And you'll be glad to know that this time I'm not cheating. Last time I had to cheat, unfortunately I didn't have enough time to, I didn't give myself enough time to put a message together, so I used an older message. But there we go. Was it, somebody said to me today, because I was telling a friend that, he said that Spurgeon actually said that he preaches a message 25 times before he perfects it. I only preach a message two times, three times at the most. But today's message is new. And the reason it's a new message really is because there's things been on my mind since this COVID, and particularly this week, as I've been seeking God's peace myself, and a friend of mine seeking God's peace. Many COVID conspiracies, this is what took my mind on to knowing the peace of God during this time, because there are so many conspiracies going through. If you look on the media, there's just so many things that they're saying about COVID, where it come from, how it originated, and the purpose of it, and you know, all of those things. But through it all, regardless of what people are saying, is do we know the peace of God? Not just during these times, which have been difficult times, but through any times. So I'm going to show you a short video clip, which I saw the beginning of this week, which is, I've watched it about three, four times, but it makes me laugh every time. But just take note of the guy. He's on, and there is some captions on there. I downloaded it from Facebook. There's a guy there, Keith, that's up on Blackpool Tower. Just take a look at this.
Oh, Jesus! Anyway, just to narrate this video, it's because we come up the steps and the down steps are on the other side of the tower. So Keith is making his way round. That's priceless, mate. Look, Keith, there's a good view. Look at the nice view. That'll give you an idea of that roller coaster.
Are you genuinely alright?
I'm not happy.
Oh, Jesus, right. You're nearly there, man. This is the best video of my life, man. I'm sorry. Come on, we're nearly there. I'll help you.
So how in the midst of all that's going on do we live in peace? You can't buy peace, you can't earn peace. You know, where do we get peace? The world can't give you peace. Where does peace come from? And I remember, I mean, for many, many years when I'm asked by my children and friends, what would you like me to give you for Christmas? And I say, all I want for Christmas is peace. And I think every single one of us at some time in our life would have said, we just want peace, you know, if our soul is in turmoil, because that's where it affects our soul, our inner being. Where are we going to get the peace? When is the peace that I want going to come? What have I got to do to find this peace? So I've been reading through Genesis straight away through to, well, it will be to Samuel 2. And or 2 Samuel, sorry, through to 2 Samuel. And I'm on 1 Samuel at the moment. And I've been reading a bit about David and Saul. So I just thought I'd bring a little couple of my own thoughts that I've thought this week. So 1 Samuel 15, Saul is made king, but he disobeys God. God tells him to go to war. And he takes 200,000 soldiers to war, but he brings back plunder that God told him to destroy. And then we see that Saul, when the prophet Samuel comes to him and he asks, you know, what's gone on? Why have you brought the plunder? And he says, oh, I brought the best of the sheep, the best of the cattle, or my people have. I brought that and they are going to sacrifice it to God. He makes an excuse, you know, to try and make peace, if you like. Because even though God had instructed him to destroy it, he ignored God and listen to his people. He was more interested in hearing the voice of man than he was of God. And where is it? It's Colossians 3:22, where it says, whatever you do, do it unto God and not unto man. So then in 1 Samuel 15:12, Saul builds a monument to himself. See, his sights are not on God. His sights are on the people and himself. He thinks all the power that he has is because of him. He don't see that it's come from God. Actually, Saul does seem to be, I don't know what it is with him, he seems to be almost ignorant of God. He doesn't seem to see that God is working. Even though Samuel went to him and told him that God has appointed you and anointed you to be king, Saul just seems to ignore that fact. So Samuel confronts him, and Saul says his soldiers brought the best sheep cattle sacrifice. And he says, I've let them do it because, and it says in verse 24 of chapter 15, I was afraid of the people. So we've got the king, King Saul, afraid of his own people. So he kind of bowed down to them instead of bowing down to God. Saul did not know the peace of God. He did not practice or desire to rest on God. He just did not show that heart. And this is what finally turned God against Saul. And it actually says that God was sorry that he had appointed Saul as king. 1 Samuel 16, God tells Samuel to go to the home of Jesse, anoint David as king. Now David, I reckon, is a blue-eyed blonde puny shepherd boy, but a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. Now that's a really popular verse, you know, that that David was a man after God's own heart. And when we think of that, I mean, goodness me, I mean, I wish I was of that standard, that I was just after God's heart. But I often find that there's something in the background. There's a reason why I'm doing things. Now, I can't stand politics of church, and I try not to get involved with that. But sometimes you just can't, because you find that people manipulate you into politics and you can't run away from it. I wonder if Saul would have felt in any way like that, that he didn't really want to, but he found himself just falling into the position that he did. And then once you're in it, you kind of get blind to the situation, and then you run by politics. 1 Samuel 16, so we've got now already that Samuel has gone and he's anointed David as king. 1 Samuel 16, this is just an overview, a quick overview, because we're looking at the peace of God. 1 Samuel 16, Saul gets his men together for war. Now I'm just guessing that it's the 200,000 men that he had. So it's probably all of them. Not one step forward to fight Goliath. You read chapter 16, Goliath is there, he comes out, shouting all of his stuff, you know, to frighten off the Israelite soldiers. But not one soldier of God's army steps forward in faith, trusting God, to fight. They're all petrified. You know, they're not going to go and risk their life. The strength of Goliath and his defiance to the army of Saul was known by the whole army of Saul. They refused to step out. So verse 23, Goliath comes out again. He's strutting his stuff and he's screaming out, is there not one of you? Is there not one of you that will come and fight? This Israelite army, not one of them knew the peace of God. Not one of them knew that they could trust in their God. As Goliath taunted the Israelite army, they began to run away. Now David's here at this point. He's been sent by his dad Jesse. He's got three older brothers that are in the army. They've already joined up. So Jesse says, take some food to them. And when David turns up, the army are just about to go out to war. They start shouting their things out, shouts of victory. And David, they must have all been excited and geared up, ready for war. And then Goliath comes out again and he starts shouting, and David asks a question, who is this? Well, this is Goliath. He's 9 foot tall. But the Israelite army began to run away, and that was much to David's surprise. And David has his sights not on Goliath, not on his size, not on his sword and his shield and his taunting phrases that he's shouting out, but David's thoughts are on this. Who is he that he thinks that he can defy the Lord God's army? David has his sights on God. David has his sights on the army of God being defiled by one man. Seemingly one man. Obviously the army was there too, but they were probably all having picnics while they sent Goliath out, knowing that nobody would come to fight him. But on the army of Saul allowing Goliath to defy the Lord God's army. So the verses of chapter 17, 33 to 37, Saul attempts to change the mind of David from going to fight Goliath, because David has said, I am not going to let anybody defy the Lord God's army. I don't care who he is. So his sights are not on the size of the problem. His sights are on God. He is going to fight for his God, and he trusts God. He knows that whatever takes place will only be in the will of God. So there's this 9 foot giant with his puny little boy, blonde, blue eyed, and he ends up going out with his sling and a couple of stones to fight a 9 foot giant. Because he trusts God and he knows the peace of God. Through all of this, while the other Israelite soldiers were running away from Goliath, petrified of what he might do, only one trusted and knew the peace of God. The foundation of David's life was God, and he knew that he could trust him. Saul attempts to change the mind of David from going to fight Goliath. He's 9 foot tall. He has years of experience of being a soldier. He's meaner. He's a mean man. He's been doing this since he was a youth. Don't do it, boy. You're going to lose your life. This man, this soldier, is against my God. And I am not going to stand for it. And if it costs me my life, it cost me my life, because I'm at peace, regardless of what the consequences might be as I walk out to face that big problem. David knew the peace of God. He had a clear conscience. His God is a faithful God, and he trusted him. I said there he had a clear conscience, and I've realized that for me that something that can take our peace away is not keeping our conscience clear with God. And I've carried things through my life, and I'll mention one in just a sec, which happened this week, that moved me where God wanted me to have, and he wants you to have a clear conscience. He doesn't want you to carry things that bring that take away your peace. He wants your soul to be at rest. He wants you to know the peace that he has for you, and only he can give it. The world cannot give the peace that God has. It can't give soul peace, that inner peace. Only God can give that peace. David killed the giant Goliath, but ironically Saul became insecure having David around, because whatever Saul gave David to do, he was successful in doing it. And Saul was jealous of David's popularity. That's because when they'd come back from war, you would have all of the women shouting hooray, hurrah, whatever, you know, and they'd say things like, Saul's killed hundreds of men, but David's killed his thousands. So Saul's popularity, he thought, was less than David's, and he was getting jealous. So he actually tried to kill David twice. He got that jealous, he threw a spear, and David managed to dodge it two times. And actually, Saul was that kind of a person. He even tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, with a spear. Don't be around if Saul was there, if there's a spear close at hand. But anyway, but David was always at peace. Even through, you read this in the scriptures, in Samuel chapter 18, David was still at peace, even though King Saul was out to murder him. He was on his case. and he was after him, and he wanted to see the end of David. Now we can see that David knew his foundation, and his foundation was God. And everything in his life, whenever issues came up, and we read earlier in 1 Samuel, I think it's 1 Samuel, is it 15, where, oh no, maybe 1 Samuel 16, or around there, where he's talking to Saul, and he says, "I've killed lions and I've killed bears with my bare hands to protect the sheep." And that's what actually convinces Saul to let David out to go and fight Goliath. So I know I should know that chapter because I just read it. I can't remember. Yeah, like I said. And David knew his foundation. And the foundation to find peace, the foundation of knowing peace for your soul, is God himself. There is no other way. And you can live all your life in turmoil because of things that have gone on in your younger day. You can carry it all your life. You can carry it to your grave simply because you refuse to rest it on the foundation of God himself. I've got a friend, Dave Wormersley, and I've known Dave for a number of years. He was the chaplain in Prescott Prison, and I went in for a few years with Dave. He's part of the Salvation Army, and he has been since he was about 18. And his wife Bev have been literally all of her life, because her mum and dad were in the Salvation Army, so she was born into the Salvation Army. That is, you might be surprised that the way the Salvation Army works is they designate you, they give you a post in an area, which for Dave and Bev was the Newport area for about 4 years. And then they came to Cardiff for 6 months, and then they were designated a post up in Merthyr Tydfil. Now Dave's in his 40s, no he's not, he's in the same age as me, 53. And they're in that place of turmoil at the moment because they've been posted at Merthyr Tydfil, and they don't believe God has called them to Merthyr Tydfil. So they moved into a house which was is given to them by the Salvation Army, but they simply don't believe that that's the place that they should be. So this is why I'm giving you this example, is the foundation is God. It's not any organization. And Dave, who I was speaking to this week, said they are now seeking God on whether they should come out of the Salvation Army, because they're feeling that there is something else for them to do, which is not the Salvation Army, but they're not sure yet. They're still seeking God on that. And I was really moved. I moved to tears, actually, with that move of faith or trust, knowing that God will come through. And he said, I know that God will come through. But I'm thinking, you know, while he's telling me all of this, that all of Bev's life and, you know, all your married life, you've been in the Salvation Army and had that security. But even now, late in life, you're willing to move out of that security and out of that peace, if you like. And it's a difficult time for them, but they know that the foundation is God, and they also know that they won't know the peace of God until they find the will of God. And that's key. They won't know the peace of God until they find the will of God. Once they have found the place that they should be, whether it's with the Salvation Army or not, whether it's in Merthyr Tydfil, wherever it might be, they're seeking God, and they will know God's peace once they find the right place. David knew peace in the midst of war. When attempts to murder him had failed, when a king's personal goal was to murder him, David knew peace. He was hungry for God. He sought after God. And all he did was want, his heart was to please God. Now it's sad but true, the scriptures tell us that this peace that David had experienced all his life was soon to be tarnished. And I don't believe that he experienced that peace in such a way again as when he'd slept with Bathsheba after he'd sent his boys off to war. David decided to stay home, you know, and relax. And there he was on his roof on a nice sunny day looking out, and he saw this beautiful woman. And that was when his conscience was pricked, and he never experienced that peace of God in such a way again, because he knew that he turned away from God. He knew that he'd sinned, and he couldn't get past what he had done. He couldn't get past what the way in which he turned from God. And the whole nation at that time, and to date actually, still struggling because of that sin that David had committed. God wants you to know his peace. We don't need to go anywhere to get peace. Peace is within. God gives it. We go to him. It's a peace we don't understand, but it's a peace that we can know. This is the illustration, the story that I wanted to tell you, because when I was 8, 9, 10 years old and in primary school, there was a girl called Teresa, and Teresa, I think, was, you know, she was used to sit on our table, and the boys used to get Teresa to do some, and I, me included, some vile, degrading, disgusting things. And I'd always remember that, and she was bullied by everybody in the class. She was the one that everybody picked on. But I'd never forgotten Therese, even before being a Christian. I'd never forgotten Therese, and I regretted and was sorry for what I had done. So there was an unrest. There was a peace that was taken away because of the way that we treated Teresa. And on realizing this, a few months ago, I prayed to God about that, because I was still in that unrest, even late in life, that I'd remembered. So I prayed for Teresa, and I said, Lord, if I ever get the opportunity to meet Teresa or speak with her, then I'm going to say sorry for the way that I treated her. Well, would you believe, just on Monday, this week, on a short date, that was, what was it, 16th, I don't know, 15th, 16th, I got a message through Messenger from Teresa. And Teresa is asking me for prayer because she's found out she's got cancer. And somehow she knows, I'm guessing I'm a Christian, maybe through me carrying the cross, I don't know. But she asked me for prayer, so I've been praying for her this week, and I'm going to let her know tomorrow that I've been praying for her. I've already responded and said, yes, I will pray. But anyway, this is the key to this, is that God was interested in me knowing peace. He wanted me. He wants you to know peace in your life. Regardless, I mean, if there's little things, that just seems a minute little thing. And I could have thought, well, she was a child then, she's probably forgotten, but I believe I caused damage, lasting damage, in Teresa. So God wanted me to know his peace in that area of my life. And in Teresa getting in touch with me has already helped. And in some way, I'm hoping I can open up that opportunity to apologize for the way that I had treated Teresa in the past. I just thought that was an amazing thing that took place. The world cannot give peace, the peace our soul needs, because it doesn't possess it. It doesn't have it. Peace is for the soul. John 12:27 says, now my soul is troubled. And this is Jesus. He was not in peace as he was walking toward the call of his life. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. So sometimes we'll go through things in our life which are intended by God, which might cause us unrest, but it brings growth. And it might be in his purpose and his reason. There's something in our lives that he wants us to achieve, if that's the right word, or wants us to become, wants us to learn. Psalm 55, 22 and 23 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half the days. But as for me, I trust in you. In the midst of all's going on with COVID and all those things at the moment, if your soul is knowing or knows unrest and is not at peace, God is the source of your peace. Trust him. Keep your conscience clear so you don't carry what God carried for you on the cross when Jesus died for your sin, for all your sin. And I read this saying earlier, is peace of mind is a luxury that money cannot buy. And I just want to read this verse in closing there's a song that I'd like you to just watch and listen to those words. This is from John chapter 14 and verse 27, when I find it there. John chapter 14 and verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So before I close with this song, let's just pray. Father, thank you for your peace. Thank you that your heart is for us to know the peace only you can give. Whatever we're going through, Lord, if it brings unrest to our souls, Father, in our hearts, in our thoughts, we bring that to you now. Thank you that in you, on our foundation, we can know your peace, and we can walk through this life regardless of what troubles we might come past, that we might come to, that might hit us dead on. We can know your peace. Lord, help us to know that today in circumstances in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just listen to this song. God bless you.
On earth, there is peace in Christ.